Welcome to the West Highland Wave Race Podcasts. I'm John Kinnistan, and this is episode 51. Welcome back to the West Highland Wave Race Podcasts. It's now Tuesday, the 10th of December, and yesterday, Ian Beattie, race director for the West Highland Way Race, published the entries, those that have been fortunate enough to get a place for the 2014 race. Ian explained on Facebook the following: "We have now considered all of the entry applications for the 2014 West Highland Way Race. There were 305 applications in total. Of those, 4 withdrew from consideration prior to the review process. 27 were not considered to have adequate relevant experience at this stage, and their application was rejected. That meant there were 274 qualified entrants for 265 places, and so a ballot was needed to be held to determine the 9 people who would not be given a place in this year's race. All those 9 now have been notified. Of the 265 entries, we had a total of 46 that were female. The youngest was 29, and the oldest is 60, an average age of 42.9. And if you look at the breakdown of those who've done the West Highland Way Race before, one person's done 9, one person's done 8, one person's done 7, one's done 6, one's done 3, 4 ladies have done 2, and 10 have done 1. And that means 27 have not run the race before. The previous fastest time amongst the women is 19 hours 27:04, and the slowest is 34:04:22. Of the men, there were 219 men. The youngest was 23, the oldest was 73, with an average age of 44.7. And again, a big spread. We've got one person who's done 13 West Highland Ways, one who's done 12, one who's done 10, 4 who've done 9, who are looking for their 10th this year. 2 have done 7, 4 have done 6, 3 have done 5, 5 have done 4, 7 have done 3, 17 have done 2 races, 45 have done 1 West Highland Way race, which means 129, this will be their first West Highland Way race, or at least their first time they'll finish. The fastest previous time of the entries is 16 hours 56:50, and the slowest is 33 hours 58:30. All these details are on the westhighlandwayrace.org website, so if you want to have a look at that and you can see how the entries break down, then please do so. This latest West Highland Way Race podcast, I've interviewed 4 different people. The first one is Dave Troman, who we started last time with some training tips. And Dave was up in Glasgow to watch the cycling at the Velodrome a couple of weekends ago. And so I caught up with Dave for a run, and we did a little podcast actually as we were running up on the Glenifer Braes. And we chatted between us really about the role of speed work, fartlek work in training for an ultra. And Dave and myself have slightly different ideas about that, so it was quite helpful just to chat together and talk about that, and hopefully folks will find that helpful. And then the next 3 interviews are 3 people who have got a place in the West Highland Way Race 2014 race, and I want to follow their progress. And this is the first time they've entered the race, and I want to follow their progress over the next 6 or 7 months leading up to the race. And hopefully that'll give us a feel of how they're training and how they're getting on. The first one is a colleague of mine, Johnny Rowan. And so I interviewed him last Saturday at his house in Drimmen, just before we went on a run on the Sunday together. The second one is Matt Williamson. Matt, again, his route that he took us on, a 19-mile route, starting from Rowadennan along the West Highland Way route for about 5 miles. And then we cut in up a big steep hill, and we did a big loop that came back to Rowadennan. So after that, we went to the Oak Tree for some lunch, and I chatted to Matt at the after that. So again, just a little introduction to Matt and his planning for the race. And then the third person I'm going to follow over this year is Amanda Hamilton. And Amanda is very happy to have a place in the race for next year, and I'm actually going to chat to her tomorrow night on Skype. So they'll be the 3 people that I'll be following. So I hope you enjoy this latest episode of the West Harlem Way Race podcast. Chat with Dave as about it, about training, and then the three introductory interviews with Johnny, with Matt, and with Amanda. And we'll be following their progress over the next few months. So I hope you enjoy this latest episode of the West Harlem Way Race podcasts.
Okay, good morning everybody. It's now just about 9:45 or so on a lovely Sunday morning, 1st of December, and I'm running with Dave up on the Braes. We've been running for just on half an hour and it's an absolutely glorious morning. We thought we'd just do our next training chat for the podcast as we run. So Dave, can you just tell us why you're up in Glasgow besides coming to have a run with me?
Good morning everyone. Tracy and I came up last night to go to the Chrisley Velodrome to watch some international cycling, and apparently they opened the doors to anybody, and even John turned up last night. We had a great evening, good atmosphere, some fantastic racing. Did you enjoy it, John?
I did, it was excellent. Sorry, we've just gone over the most muddiest bit of the of our route. Your feet nice and wet now?
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Okay, so last time when we did the first one, we talked in principle about how to build up your training, different blocks and different things. So I wanted to talk this time, or chat about the role of speed play or fartlek in ultra. You know, some people say you're basically running a 10-minute plus per minutes per mile, so what's the point in running sub-7, sub-6? Others say, no, if you get a good, if you've got a good speed, then that's going to make running 10-minute miles easier. So what are your thoughts about speed work and the role of doing sort of fartlek speed sessions in your training?
Well, I think I've probably changed over the last year. This time last year, I was much more of the idea that, you know, if I'm going to be running for 20 hours, why do I need to worry about running 7-minute mile pace? And I think that's probably got me through to where I am now. Finishing races feeling reasonably strong because I've been Mr. Sensible early on. I've been reading a few blogs recently of people who are right at the very sharp end of races, and when you look at the speed that they're running at, I've got to think, well, they're doing a different sport to the one I'm doing, so maybe I need to start tweaking things. So I've started to swing round to the idea of doing some fartlek work, some tempo work, some hill reps, just to get some leg speed back, because I think if I can run a 10-minute mile in even more comfortably, I can sustain that for longer. If it means I can run a 9-minute mile in comfortably, then obviously that's going to make a big difference to overall race results. So this winter, I'm going to start introducing a little bit more. I know you do a lot like John, don't you? Regularly Monday night fartlek.
Whoa. Yeah, I think, just going over on the little stream here. Just by the way, we're running and we can see Ben Lomond in the distance, and it's absolutely glorious. It's sun shining. Anyway, that's besides.
Somebody's going to fall over.
Yeah, that's right. For me, I think I've come from a road running background really before ultra, and I've just always really enjoyed the speed session. I think it's the one time of the week where I sort of go faster. And so when I started the ultra, I just kept it going because I enjoyed it. And over the last 7 years of doing ultras, I've basically done speed work mainly because I enjoy it. But this year, 2013, after the fling, I realised that my quads weren't quite in the good enough condition. So I didn't do any speed work from the fling through till the end of October, really. Because I felt I needed to spend more time going up and down Ben Lomond, getting my quad sorted, and that really paid dividends this year. But one of the things I listened to the Talk Ultra podcast a couple of episodes ago, and Mark Lathwaite and Ian Corliss were chatting about speed work, And they made the point that most ultra runners, and that was me this year, we spend the whole summer doing long, slow runs, you know, building that real base. So they suggested using the winter to do your speed work, which is probably opposite to what most marathon runners do, because they would use the winter to build up their speed, their aerobic base, and then start doing speed work leading up to a spring marathon. So that's going to be my pattern this year. So at the moment, I've done the last 5 weeks on a Monday, and I certainly feel as though I'm running faster. And my idea is I'm going to do speed work up until a few weeks before the Hardmoor's 55, and then that's in end of March. And then basically from then onwards, it's going to be more concentrated on doing hill work and really trashing my quads.
Well, I'm slightly different in that I'm part way through my usual 2 months of holding back on the pace, just to allow myself to build up my mileage after having a good break, making sure that I don't get injured, not trying to increase mileage and increase speed at the same time, because I know what that'll do to my legs. So I've got about another 3 weeks left of real slow and steady, smell the roses, look at the views of Ben Lomond, that kind of thing, and then from round about Christmas time, I'm going to start introducing some speed work. My idea is to, from sort of late winter through into early spring, I am going to be doing probably a couple of speed sessions a week, which is something I haven't done for about 4 years. And I think that will help just lift my overall sort of cruising speed for some ultras later in the year. When I was just fell racing, I was probably interval training 3 times a week. Everything was built around interval training, so I've got no worries about doing it. And I think it's good to get a bit of snap back in the legs, but I don't think I personally wouldn't be able to do it all the way through the winter, particularly after having a break and trying to build up mileage. But I can see some of the logic in flipping the season round. It'll be interesting to see how you get on, John.
Yeah. I think for me, the argument goes that if you're going to be able to do a faster 10K, a faster half marathon, faster marathon, you'll find the ultras easier. Because if you can cruise at, you know, if you can do a tempo run at sub 7 minute mile pace or whatever pace you're at, then that's going to make, when you get to the ultra, if you're running 10 minute miles or 11 minute miles, that's going to be easier. So I quite like the idea of just trying to
look at the likes of Scott. Who's come from a road running background, look at the pace he can sustain in an ultra. It's that kind of basic leg speed that I think is going to help us.
If you think we're breathing a bit heavy, then there's a little hill there. Those who know this little route, we're going past Paisley Golf Club now, and we're almost at the highest point of the run. Yeah, so basically, I think both of us would agree that there is a role for speed play for us. You know, and it's interesting what you were saying, Dave, about, you know, you've had two top 10 finishes this year in the West Harlem Way and in the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
And for you to move up a level and get in the top 5 or whatever, you feel you probably need to do some more speed work. But do you think, say, for someone listening to this who's tackling the West Harlem Way for the first time and their goal is to finish in 27, 28, 34 hours, would you think for them they would need to do as much speed work?
My personal opinion on that is probably no. I think the most important thing is time on feet, just getting hours in. Don't even worry about distances. Distances are irrelevant. It's the number of hours you spend on your feet. Well, I actually I record all my training in hours, not distances. Well, that's what I look at, certainly. Because if I'm running off-road, which I do all the time anyway, my distances are lower. Those that know me know I'm not a big mileage runner. So I want to make best use of my running time. But I think, if I think back to when I first attempted to do the West Island Way, I sort of sat down and thought about what do I need to do to be able to get through that 95 miles, and you know, every time I just kept coming back to number of hours on my feet. So I think that's got to be the number one priority if you're looking to complete the race. And then, as John and I were just talking about, as well as worrying about that, you need to look at all the other little facets that make up that particular day, because there are a lot of other things than just putting one foot in front of the other, like the kit you wear, the shoes you're wearing, your nutrition, your hydration, you know, how you plan to actually put food into yourself, when, what type of food, all those kind of things have as big an impact on the day as actually just running along. So time on your feet, and worry about all those little things as well.
Yeah, we were just talking about, I listened to another podcast this week by a guy called, Learn From The Coaches, I mean, this guy, Jeff, and he said that you're as fast as your slowest part, and I think that's really applicable to ultra running. As Dave said, all those little things, if you might be the fittest runner in the field, but if you've got blisters, then you won't do well. Or you might be really strong, but your stomach is out of kilter, then it's going to struggle. So it's getting all those little things right. Just to complete our run, we've just gone past some loads of Highland cows, big horns, very impressive animals, and thankfully they didn't pay us any attention. So thanks, Dave, and we'll catch up again in another few weeks, and we'll think about another topic to discuss, and enjoy the rest of the run.
We will.
Okay, this year for the West Highland Way Race, I thought it'd be really good to follow a number of runners who are doing the West Highland Way Race for the first time. And the first one I've got is my friend Johnny Rowan. And so it's good that Johnny's been willing to do this over the next few months and follow his progress. So first of all, Johnny, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and maybe a little bit about your sort of running background?
Hi there. From Glasgow. I work in active schools, doing like physical activity programs for kids in primary schools and one of the secondary schools over the south side of Glasgow. Always been interested in sports, you know, at schools myself, doing lots of rugby and football and different sports, but hated long distance running, especially cross country races. And I was sprinting was my main forte, and I was quite good at that, but when I left school, I went into the TA, the Parachute Regiment, and there was a lot of running involved in that, and that got me into that, and especially the endurance side of things. We did a lot of heavy trails over all sorts of terrain, so enjoyed that. It was tough, but stuck that out for a couple of years doing that and doing the parachute jumps.
You're running?
Running. So just kept myself fit really over the years, but probably about 6 years ago I started going round the Munros, trying to bag off all the Munros, so I've now done 240, so I'm hoping to get them finished by the end of summer next year, and just running. I was really get forced into it by John. No, not forced into it, no. Because of my experience with doing the Munros, John suggested that I try ultra running. Before that, I'd never done even a marathon. I'd done some 10Ks and half marathons, but and not in a great pace either. Just it was something I really particularly enjoyed. I just did it for challenge. I'd done other things. I liked the idea of having challenges. I did cycle challenges, 100 miles, and duathlons and things like that. But I always liked the idea of doing a long distance route, but didn't think, you know, didn't have any idea how I could manage it or how I could be capable of it. I've done the West Highland Way a couple of times walking it. The first time I did it, I was about 18. It took us 2 weeks. and then we did it again. Once I was out the TA, I did it as a four-day challenge, which was tough going. It was full rucksacks with tents and cooking equipment and things. So, the idea of... I remember at that time, somebody had ran it in 17 hours and just thought that was incredible. Never thought that... I could get up to that, but John persuaded me to try and do some training. Did the fling for the first time this year in April, and just really enjoyed it. It was just fantastic, and a lot of the times when I'm doing the Munros, I'll link up 4 or 5 Munros, and where possible, I'll run between them and that. So doing the fling, a lot of it was very similar to what I would do in hills, and the kind of preparation that I do for that, then you know, it helped me to do the fling. So,
Actually, it was interesting for the fling, because those who did the fling this year, 2013, you remember that we had to do a detour because the path was out of action just after Drimmen. So we ran past where we're sitting now, the Kip in the Kirk bed and breakfast in Drimmen, which is owned by Johnny's partner, Francis. So if you were going past and someone handed you oranges, then it was a good chance it was one of your boys, wasn't it?
Yeah, we scored, was it?
Yeah, was giving out some, was doing that. So can you tell us just a little bit about the fling, that race? Because a number of people use the fling as a preparation for the West Highland Way or as a qualifying race to be able to get a place. So can you tell us a little bit about how it went? Was it as hard as you thought or as easy as you thought? Or what were your thoughts?
My training into it wasn't what I'd hoped to do. I had a couple of wee injuries with my knee and my foot. And even right up to the week before the fling, I still had my doubts, you know, if I was going to even complete half of it. My goal really was to try and get to River Denon. I'd never done that kind of distance before, and even in my training, I hadn't really prepared myself as I'd hoped to. So, even doing the distance to River Denham would have been quite an achievement. So, on the day, I was just basically just taking a nice steady pace and just watching what other people were doing. Really, the group that I was with in my section, when they were walking on the hills, you know. Even though I felt capable of running, I walked it with them, and a couple of times even just chatting along to, you know, there was one guy in particular I met a couple of times, and we had a great chat, and we'd done many miles together, and just sharing that experience. But the fling was just a beautiful day, and just enjoyed it. As John said, my boy was out you know, at the house, and then Francis took my boys to Bamaha and then to Rua Denon, and then up just a few miles before the finish line, my three boys ran in with me at the end as well. So it was lovely. It was a great experience, and I just enjoyed the race. It was really tough, but I stopped because my boys were each checkpoint. Three or four checkpoints, and I stopped for about 10-15 minutes at certain times, and probably a bit too long, but my goal on the day was just to complete it. I was happy, as I said, to get past River Denon, and felt good. It was really tough the last even 10 miles, struggling, and to when you're walking up hills and then you get to the top, to motivate yourself to try and run again, was a big mental struggle as well. But the downhills, so much pain in my legs everywhere. But you know, happy to finish and to have that, you know, when you drive back these roads as well and you're looking at you've covered all that distance, it's just incredible. So good challenge. It took me 12 hours 40 minutes. I took it easy and had a lot of breaks, but so I'm down to do the fling again 2014, so hopefully I'll be able to take quite a bit of time off of that, so quite confident about that.
Okay, I'm sure you can simply by not stopping so long. I couldn't believe it when we talked afterwards how long you'd spent at each checkpoint, having a cup of tea and sitting down and having a good rest. So we can soon hopefully get that down. So after we've done that one, then if you've read my blog at all, you'll know that it's Johnny that I did a lot of the Ben Lomond runs with. So each Wednesday night, we'd have a run up and down Ben Lomond, which really helped me prepare for this year's West Harlem Way race. And then I was down to do the Ultimate Trails race in the Lake District, which is the 100K. And I suggested to Johnny that might be a good one to do as well as a bit further distance in preparation for thinking about doing the West Harlem Way race. So we did some runs for that in training. And then, do you want to tell us a bit about that one? Because that was about 65 miles. So that was another 10 miles longer than the fling. And I would say probably a lot more climbing as well. There was probably about the same amount of climbing as there is in the full West Harlem Way race. So I think it was around about 15,000 feet of climb, which is significantly more. So how did you find your second ultra?
Again, really enjoyed it. I started off with John. We did the first leg together, and then as soon as we hit the first checkpoint, he was straight through and I had stopped again. But no, I was conscious of cutting down my brakes, but not really. I'd never been in the Lake District up in the hills before, so really enjoyed. We had a beautiful day again, and just going along through that scenery was just fantastic. But John had a wee breakdown of splits, but because that race had never ran before, it was a difficult one to judge. So the first few splits, you know, it was kind of up and down for some of them. So when I did the fling, I wasn't even conscious of my time or even looking at what my timing was for each leg. But for this one, I was trying to be a bit more focused on that and try to push myself. At one point, I got a bit lost and I took a wrong turn and ended up going up a hill. And when I realised that I was so far off, I could see everybody going the correct way. I had to come back down the hill and then go around the other side of the wee locking. And it just totally demotivated me. And I just felt as if I'd wasted a lot of time. And it took me until another half hour or so, I get past the next checkpoint and then get back into the race again. But it was a good experience. That, you know, I think thinking how, you know, I'd had in my head thought I'd lost a lot of time and I'd made a huge mistake. But when I looked back at how much time I had actually lost, it was a fraction of what I'd thought, you know. But I think using that experience in future races will, you know, help me to get back on track again quicker, instead of my head going down. But really good race. We come in late at night, we had torches on. Again, running with a couple of guys. One guy in particular, we did the last two legs, and we really pushed on quite hard in the last two. So finished strong, which was really good. And again, just that running and chatting to other guys, it's you know, a big part of these events and a great experience.
Now, what Johnny didn't say was that when he got lost, he had headphones on and he was listening to a comedian on his phone. So I had no sympathy at all. He wasn't paying attention. Anyway, so let's think about the West Harlem Way race then. So obviously, you say you've walked it a couple of times, you've done the fling. So has it always been in your mind to enter the West Harlem Way race? Was that always the big plan?
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate kind of challenge. Yep. So if I can run that, and it's difficult just now, but you know, happy with the two runs I've done this year. I'm pretty sure if I can get my training, you know, my training for both of these runs wasn't particularly good. I felt, you know, I could have done a wee bit more, and even in the ultimate trails, it was I was kind of sticking to a training plan, but just find it difficult sometimes to fit things in with work commitments and things with family and home. To fit the training in sometimes is can be quite difficult. So if I've got five runs scheduled over the week, then you know I need that flexibility that if I miss one day, then I can maybe do it the next day or do back to back runs. But no, I think that doing the West Highland Way is, you know, that'd be a fantastic challenge if I can complete that, and if I can do it in less than 24 hours, I'd be delighted. I'm thinking maybe 23 to 24 hours, but certainly I'd be aiming to do it in less than 24. That's what I'm going to train for. So I think the train, we're going to sit and work out a wee training plan, and I'll try and be a lot more focused and try and get a lot more bigger back-to-back runs as well. I don't feel as if I did enough kind of mileage and the build-up to these other runs. Did some great runs on Ben Lomond, and I've got a lot of Munros. I'm hoping to finish Munros by the end of summer, so I've got 40 Munros that I'm hoping to plan into the training schedule as well, where I can do them as fast as I can on the uphills and run between them and run the way down. So we've got that to plan, and hopefully that will stand me in good stead for doing the. So far I've got the Fling booked in April in the West End Way race, and I'll maybe look at possibly another one.
Yeah. Great, thank you very much. So we'll look forward to following your progress and over these next few months. But last question, just thinking, the race is 6.5 months away. Is there anything that you're particularly sort of excited about, and is there anything that you're a little bit concerned about between how things will go between now and the race?
I've still got problems with my knee. This has been a year now, and that's my biggest concern. I don't think it will hold me back. I can train, I can run through it, but one thing I'm worried about is any long-term damage I might do to it. And I do enjoy doing the ultras, but I'm just worried about if, you know, there is definitely something not right with my knee, and what damage I'm going to be doing to that with continue to do these runs. So hopefully I can get that sorted out as well, but that's my main concern.
And what excites you?
I love these challenges, you know, so you know, the thought of being able to run 95 miles and do it over that terrain, and from Wagai to Fort William, it's just an incredible challenge. And from my experiences of doing the Fling and doing the Lakes race, it was just you know, it's something that you get a wee bug for, don't you, and just want to go for it. Yeah. So, okay.
Great. Thank you very much. And we're recording this on Saturday night, on the 6th of December, and then tomorrow we're having an 18-mile run which starts at Rowadennan, goes at the West Highland Way route a bit, and then cuts in, and there's a big loop round with Marco and some other guys. So hopefully we'll have a good run again tomorrow. So thanks for that, and we'll speak to you soon. Hi, welcome to our West Highland Way podcast. It's Sunday the 7th of December, and we're sitting in the oak tree, nice and full, after some soup and some chips and burgers after an 18-mile run that we've been on. And I've got with me Matt Williamson, who we're going to follow over the next few months as he prepares for the West Highland Way race. So first of all, Matt, thanks for doing this. And if you could maybe just introduce yourself a little bit and maybe tell us a little bit about your running background.
How are you doing? Thanks very much for Let me take part in this podcast, John, first of all. So my name's Matt Williamson, but obviously I've been doing a wee bit of ultra running for the last, probably focusing on it anyway, for about the last 2-3 years. I've ran lots of different types of runs over the last time, previously. I started off cross country at school many years ago, and progressed on to doing a lot of road racing after my uni years, 5Ks, 10Ks, up to marathon. And with that, I did quite a lot of a wee bit of hill running here and there. Took a bit of time, took a year or two focused on hill running, and just added in a couple of longer races over that period of time. And you know, as time sort of developed, I just began to focus a little bit more on the longer stuff. I did a marathon three years ago, and I'd done, I think, one each year for 6 or 7 years, and just felt I wanted a change, and I thought, right, is that I'm going to try and focus on the ultra stuff. So that's been my main focus for the last about 3 years now. And I've done a fair number of the Scottish races in the Sum series, the Highland Fling twice, the Catarán, Devil of the Highlands, and a couple of the other ones. I've been fortunate enough to be picked for the Scottish team a couple of times, and last year was very fortunate I got picked for the GB team at the World Trail Championships. And that's pretty much a brief summary and to date.
He's being very modest there. You tend to be in the top 3, 4, 5 of these races. You tend to be up there, don't you?
I've had a couple of good results, yeah, the last 2 years, yeah. I've made a couple of podium positions and, yeah, had a couple of very good results. So I think it's spurred me on to really focus on the ultra stuff. That it's a nice scene, the ultra scene. The people tend to be fairly down to earth, and the races are, it's the trail running I enjoy most. I've done a couple of road ultras as well, but really the trail running, and getting out and enjoying the countryside is what makes me tick, really.
Yeah. So far, the longest race you've done is the Fling, 53 miles, that sort of distance?
Yeah, the Fling, I've done the Catarán, which is a wee bit over 55. I've done the 100K on the road, so it's a wee bit different in terms of difference. So it's 100K, 62 odd miles, and so slightly further, but obviously not involving the same terrain. So yeah, the Catarán and the Fling would be the two longest off-road events that I've done so far.
Yeah. So the West Highland Way, is that been something you've been wanting to do for a while? Has that been on the agenda, and why next year?
Yeah, the West Highland Way, it's been something that's been on my agenda for, I suppose, a number of years. It's been something I thought I would like to do one day, but I've never been in a great rush. You know, I think that I've much preferred to let my body adjust to doing ultra distance. So I guess I started off, you know, I suppose the first longer than marathon distance I did was the Larry Grew race, which was a 28-mile race, and then I kind of gradually moved up to sort of 30 to 40 to 50 to sort of 60-mile races, and you know, a lot of my peers, the folk I run with and things, have been doing the West Highland Way for quite a long time. They've been asking me when I was going to do it, and I just wasn't in a great rush. I just wanted to take my time, wait till I was ready, and I feel as if I've got a reasonable base in my ultra running, and happy enough, I think next year is a good time. It fits in with my race plans, and
Matt very kindly today on our run sort of came back and kept me company a few times, and you were saying on our run that next year's a good year because there's no GB competition or international competition on the ultras, so again it fitted in well with your plans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the last couple of years I've been very privileged to say to get picked for a couple of international teams, and that's been a big highlight for my career so far. But next year the main races focus on the road side of the races, and as I say my passion is the trails, and I've just felt that, no, I want to stick to the trails next year, do the things I love. Running for me is about doing it for the love of it. I don't have in the past got sucked into just training for marathons and, you know, hitting the canal week in, week out, every week doing the same runs to try and hit times. But, you know, while I enjoy that, I think the biggest thing for me is enjoy my running and hitting the trails and getting out and enjoying new places with friends and stuff like that is what inspires me to run. And yeah, so next year there's no trail races in the Scottish or the GB calendar, so it's a good point for me to give the West Highland Way a go.
Now, I'm assuming that you're not doing the West Highland Way just to jog round and finish. You must be thinking of being at the top end of the race. Would that be fair to say?
I would like to think it's possible. I'm not approaching the race with any definite sort of idea of how it will go. It's a substantial jump going from, 50-60 miles up to, the near 100 miles. It's near, I certainly have potential to have a good run, but I have a potential, like everybody else, to have a bad run. I'll be setting my sights, I suppose, reasonably positive. That's what I've got to do. I've got to go out there and plan to have a good race. The potential I've got, I don't really have any firm time plans in goal, but certainly sub-16 would be what I would be hoping for. Somewhere, whether it be a minute or two ahead of that, but it could be or more than that, but it just depends. As I say, I'm very conscious. It's the first time I've done that distance. I've got to get lots of people take a long time to get there, that distance right, and I just got to hope everything comes together on the day. But we'll see what happens.
We've got Marco sitting opposite as well. His time was 16:04, so that's going to be a good little target for you, isn't it? 16:03. Sorry, Marco. So Marco and Matt, you do a lot of running together, don't you? So a lot of your training, so I'm sure you're learning from that. So just thinking, the race is 6.5 months away. Have you got a broad sort of, for your training, have you got a broad idea of how you want to structure your training between now and the race? Or is that fairly clear, or are you going to see how things go in the next few months?
Well, at this stage in the year, I've kind of had a wee bit of an off season the last month or two. So at the moment, it's just kind of getting a base fitness throughout the winter. I guess the next month or so, at least anyway, will really just be about just getting the consistency back with the training, not worrying too much. No major race goals in the meantime. I've got a couple of other races on the agenda or penciled anyway for the start of next year. My intention will be just to gradually up things from January onwards, just trying to, my standard would be 6 days training a week, and trying to get two solid long runs in, at the weekend from January onwards, really. And that will be we'll be building that up as the months go on, getting closer to the race. Hopefully, doing the Transvolcania race in May, hoping to try and find something, another ultra a wee bit earlier than that, March time, and to get me an early goal and just get me focused and getting the miles on the road.
So. Yeah. I'm doing the Hardmoss 55 and the 22nd of March, so that might be one that you'd quite like. That would be good preparation. just thinking as well, have you got a sort of key things that you feel you want to do? You're saying you're running six times a week. Would that include a speed session? Do you tend to do speed work, or would it be all off road? Just give us a bit of an idea of how those 6 days sort of break down.
A standard for me, depending on the time of season and things like this, but I suppose last year the main training would consist of speed session on a Monday. Tuesday would just be a steady run, up, so maybe an hour sort of steady run. Wednesday, I try and get a trail run in. I work up in Stirling one day a week, so there's a trail near there. Thursday again, easy run. Friday off, and then two long runs at the weekend. Again, depends on the time of season. That'll ideally try and get at least a 20 in a shorter run. As I'm building up, and then in the middle of the season, I suppose 2:20s or 20:30, something like that, would be the main crux of what I'd be doing.
Yeah. What about sort of injuries? Are you someone who's pretty robust, or do you tend to, you have to be careful how much you do, depending on how your body's feeling?
I've had my fair share of injuries over the years. I've just had a couple of weeks off with a calf problem, so part of my job, I'm a physio, so I've got to try and lead by example and do the things I do, which is not always easy, but I think I'm quite lucky that I quite enjoy mountain biking and cycling and don't mind taking a bit of time out if I need to go and cross train. I think this year I'm really trying to build in a wee bit more strength training and core work as well, to try and give myself a bit more rounded fitness rather than just purely running. So that's going to be one of the big changes I've made over the last couple of months, and will hopefully continue to do that. I'm very much a believer in listening to my body and running to how I feel. So and I think that's a very, very important thing to be able to be able to do, to be able to run well at ultra and not be afraid of taking a day off or cross training and not thinking that's going to be the end of your racing season or something. It's better to take time off when you need to early, and keep the consistency of training going, just drop things down and let your body recover.
Great, well thank you very much, Matt, and hopefully we'll get a chance maybe every couple of months and we can follow your progress on what you're up to and how your thoughts change. So I think it'll be really interesting because it'll be quite fun to follow someone who's at the sharp end of the race as well as different people down the field. So thank you very much, and I hope your training goes well, and we look forward to chatting next time. Thanks.
Well, we've got Amanda Hamilton joining us. Over the last few days, I've been interviewing, I'm going to interview three people, and we're going to follow their progress of the 2014 West Harlem Way race. So I did Johnny Rowan on Sunday, Saturday, and then Matt Williamson after our run on Sunday. And this evening, we've got Amanda Hamilton. So first of all, Amanda, if you could just maybe introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about what you do and maybe how you got into running.
Okay, hi, and thanks very much for inviting me to be part of these podcasts. It's something that I've listened to since you started them, so it's exciting, albeit I don't want to hear my voice coming through on them, but that's fine. So I've been, I guess, involved with the race for about 7 or 8 years now, through a chance encounter with Dario at the time, who was the race director at the time. He was doing his gym instructor's course, and I met him at our first exam. I was on the same course as him, and we got talking about the race and all the what I was calling crazy people at the time that were involved in it, and thought it was something that I would never even entertain the idea of running, and things have kind of progressed from there. But I've run probably I started running in about 1999 when I decided I was going to do the London Marathon, having never run before, and was lucky enough to get a place the first year that I entered. So that I kind of got into it that way, and then I did a bit of road running and a few marathons, and I went to Peru in, I think it was 2005, and ran an event called the Chasqui Challenge over there, which involves doing the Inca Trail Marathon in the middle of that. And I'd always kind of looked at races like Devil of the Highlands and thought that would have been something to aspire to do. And then I got injured and I got a bit fat and fell out of the way of running. So I had about 3 years off, and I've just got back into it over the last kind of 3 or 4 years, and fixed my injuries and lost some weight, and then entered the Devil and the Cape Wrath Marathon, because they were both races that I wanted to do, and thinking that would be it, that would kind of get those out of my system and that would be the end of it. And then it kind of spiraled from the Devil to the Fling, to doing the Devil again, to doing Glenmore, to putting my entry in for the West Highland Way. So here we are.
Yeah. I must admit, Amanda, I've always been very appreciative of your physio skills at the end of the race. I think quite a few of the races you've given me a little once over at the end, which I've really appreciated. But it did make me wonder, just because you must have seen people in bits at the end of the West Highland Way race, and yet you're still keen to enter. So what was it, or what is it that's really driven you to enter and to actually put yourself on the line?
I think you're right. I've seen, I've been at the race every year, as I say, for aside from 1 year, I've been there for about the last 7 or 8 years massaging, and I've seen all sorts of, faintings and hospital admissions and everything, but I'm trying to block all of that out of my mind at the moment and thinking only of the happy people who always look lovely and wonderful and like they haven't even sweated over the time it's taken them. And for me it's just, I think I'm probably inherently lazy, and I need something that's big and scary enough to get me out of bed in the mornings and make me want to go out and train. So, as I say, going from you do the devil, and then, well, next thing to do is a fling, because that's a little bit longer, and then you think, oh, well, what should I do next? I'll do Glenmore, because that's pushing yourself a little bit further. So, yeah, for me, it's just kind of the next thing, and having been involved with it for so long, I guess it gets you in the end. You think you're never going to want to do it, but you're so part of the family, and I don't know, I just feel drawn into it somehow, and it's a wonderful place to run and a wonderful group of people to be part of, that it seems kind of natural now to go and do it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think for the general population, it's probably far from natural. But I think once you're involved in it, yeah, I think you do feel that. I was tempted to ask whether I was one of the ones in bits or happy at the end, but I'll leave that to another time.
You're usually very happy and calm and lovely from the years I remember. There's been much worse states than you.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So the race is just over 6 months away. So just wanted to get a feel, Amanda, what sort of things have you got in mind? Obviously, things might change, but have you got broad ideas of how you want to train for this? Have you got other races that you want to do between now and the West Harlem Way? So give us a little feel of what your training plan looks like, if you've got one.
I don't have one yet. My husband's a personal trainer, so I've asked him to write my plan, because he usually writes my plans from other races, so I'm delegating responsibility for that to him. So I'll be nagging him for the next few weeks to do it, but at the moment I'm just trying to keep kind of base training going. I'm doing the markathon just to get me out every day, but trying not to just do the minimum every day. I'm trying to actually put some longer runs in there to keep that side up, but not pushing myself too hard in December, just trying to keep the injuries away, keep things ticking over. And then somebody asked me today whether I had a time goal in mind for it, and I haven't even really considered that, but I picked 30 hours out of thin air this morning for no real reason other than it seemed like a nice round number. Kind of working towards that. I've got an entry in the fling, and I'm booked in to do the training weekend. So the West Highland Way training weekend at the start of February, and then the two fling training weekends in February and March, to get some good running on the way in there. Because I think that's, even from the fling and the devil training, the thing that really helps is getting onto the West Highland Way and knowing what's coming next. It sorts your head out and lets you get in that mindset. And aside from the running part of it, I want to lose a wee bit of weight, and I want to get back in the gym and do a bit of strength training. I do Pilates at the moment for core strength, but I could do with a bit of muscle elsewhere, I think. So trying to fit all that in around a full-time job and the part-time job as the sports massage is just part-time, so I have a full-time job around about that. So it's going to be a fun 6 months, I think.
Yeah. That sounds a really good plan. And I think those those monthly runs, and the fact that you'll be doing them with other people, I think that will be really helpful, because as you're chatting and you learn so much, don't you, from other people's experience and picking things up. That sounds a good plan. Also, I think it's be interesting with your 30 hours that you're saying, as a goal. And again, we'll visit that each time, and it will be quite interesting to see whether that goes up or down and what happens in reality. But again, that will be based hopefully on how your training's going and how things develop, so that you can end up with a good idea. So it sounds a good plan.
As I say, I just kind of picked that number, and I did the Glenmore 24 this year, and I ran almost 95 miles in that, and I appreciate it's a totally different kettle of fish, but so that was, even with about an hour's sleep, I did the 95 miles. But I think taking into account the additional hills and the terrain and having to potentially run through two nights, it's gonna get a bit closer to 30, I think.
We'll see.
Maybe it'll come down.
Yeah, but I think doing something like the Glenmore 24 is a really good preparation for the West Harlem Way, because you would have more in the dark than you would in the West Harlem Way, certainly on the first night. There's only really 2.5-3 hours of darkness to start the race. Obviously, if you go into a second night, then you have a bit more again the second time. Yeah.
And that was one of my reasons for doing Glenmore, because once I got the inkling in my head about doing the West Highland Way, I wasn't sure whether I could A, stay awake for 24 hours or B, run that sort of distance. And it felt like a safe environment to do it in. You know, you're never further away than 2 miles from an aid station or your support crew. So it made it a great environment to practice that kind of thing. And as you say, really good event to do before putting an entry in.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Okay, so I say the race is just over 6 months away. At this stage, is there anything that is sort of concerning for you as you think about it? Is there any? Do you have any worries about the race?
I think the main worry I have at the moment is getting in control of my time and being disciplined enough with my time, so to get the training in. And I think that's where it kind of comes back to the bit about it's such a big scary race that there's no hiding place, that you can't just skive off training for any, you know, flippant reason. So I need to get control of my diary as much as I can, work permitting. And yeah, I think other than that, I'm more excited than scared, I think. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would say, you know, from my experience, I think some of the key thing is getting those big runs in. You know, if you miss the odd run in the week, if you miss the odd whatever session, that's not as damaging. But if you can get those monthly runs that you've got planned in, you know, the January and the February, March and the fling, if you can get those in, then I think that's going to, you'd be halfway there really. And that just gives you the confidence to know that you've got that time on your feet. Mm. That's good. Okay, so that's maybe one little concern. What's the thing which excites you most about the race?
Crossing the finish line and being there to collect my goblet, or hopefully being able to walk far enough to collect my goblet, because I stayed for the ceremony this year, and that was actually, I'm ashamed to say, the first year I stayed for the ceremony, and I was in tears from start to finish. So I can only imagine what sort of mess I will be in when I'm there doing it next year. So that's my driving force, to get that goblet.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think it's when the going gets tough, to have that mental image and that picture of what you want to get there can drive you on. So,
no. Definitely.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. It's been good just to have a little chat tonight. And I say we'll do this regularly. So we'll try and get together once every month or two, and we can follow your progress. And it's going to be really interesting just seeing how your training goes and how the other races go as well. And we wish you all the best. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
John. Hope you've enjoyed this latest episode of the West Highland Way Race podcast. And as I say, we'll be following Johnny, Matt and Amanda over the next 6 months as they train and prepare for the West Highland Way Race. Hopefully it'll be interesting to get a bit of a feel of how they get on and how their thoughts change, how they deal with different things. And hopefully that will be a help and an encouragement to others who are training for the race as well. So I hope you've, those who have got a place, I feel very excited by it all. There were a few people that missed out, which is sad, but I hope they come back and can take part in this race in another year. This will probably be the last one I do before Christmas, so I'd like to wish everyone a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year, and look forward to 2014 and all that it will bring in lots of ways. All right, just going to finish with a quote of the day. This is again from Wombat Fitness, and this is from a guy called Bill Bowerman, who says, "There is no such thing as bad weather, just soft people."